This is Peter King's second class at the Shippensburg Bible School. His theme for the week is Jesus in the Old Testament. And the title of this class is The Serpent in the Wilderness. Peter King.
Well, good morning, everyone, and thanks for pitching up again on time. All wide awake. You remember the rules from yesterday? If you want to say anything, you put your hand up and I'll stop talking, and you can. But you don't talk while I do. Okay. Simple rules. And I don't like notes being passed either. It's a bit childish. And we're teenagers. Right, we're talking about Jesus in the Old Testament. Yesterday we had a chat about before Abraham was I am, and Abraham rejoiced to see my day and saw it and was glad. And we related that to a prophecy in Genesis chapter 22. Now we're going to have a look at the serpent in the wilderness. But before we go that, we need to finish off what we're talking about yesterday, which is another serpent in the garden in Eden. So if you open your books at Genesis chapter 3, that will be very helpful. You remember the story? God had said, you shall eat of every tree that's in the garden in Eden. This is a real event, kids. I mean, modernists will tell you that it's an analogy. It didn't really happen. It's put this way so that we can understand it easily. There wasn't really a serpent. I tell you, the Bible all the way through insists that Adam and Eve were real, the garden in Eden was real, the serpent was real, and the temptations were real. So God lays the ground rules, a bit like we have at our Bible school. God said, look, these are the rules. You can eat of everything that's in the garden. Must have been a fabulous garden. It must have been unbelievably lovely. And God said, you can eat of everything except the one tree. A bit like our rules. You know, we only have one. It's ever so simple. Don't talk when I do. Ever so simple. And God said, look, there's the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Don't eat of it. Because if you do, you'll die. Now, this is a strange thing. God said, in the day that you eat thereof, you will surely die. And they ate and lived for another 900 years. Now, God could do several things when Adam and Eve sinned. He could have said, well, I'll let you off just this once, but don't do it again. The problem with that theory is that God would have been stuck with sinners who are living forever. You can't have that. Or God could have said, well, you know, I'll forgive you outright. But where's the justice in that? And from that day, they began to die. They were already mortal. Look, let's face it. Adam was not immortal when he was in the garden. Neither was Eve. They were not immortal. They were mortal people. And the reason for that is very simple. Immortality cannot be tempted. Mortality can be tempted. I'm tempted every day of my life. I'm sure you are too, in one way or another. But come the kingdom of God, when by God's grace we're in the kingdom, there'll be no temptation. And because there's no temptation, there's no sin. And so to gain access to the kingdom of God, we are relieved from temptation. It will be a fabulous time. Never tempted to do the wrong thing. Or say the wrong thing, or think the wrong thing. We shan't be robots. Look, the kingdom of God is not something where you walk around like robots, monitored and scheduled by God to do what he wants. That's not the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God will be a wonderful place where we work very hard. God's people, Israel, thought that by walking to God's rest, God's kingdom, they were working pretty hard. When they got there, they worked harder still. And so it will be for us. Come the kingdom of God, we shall work very hard. But it'll be pleasant work. Lovely work. work, we shall be immortal. We'll go and preach and talk to people, and we shall be energized by God's power and never feel tired. It'll be a wonderful thing. And we shall think of all, we shall know all the answers when people give us difficult questions. And we'll bring people to a knowledge of Jesus Christ and God. That's the kingdom. And that's immortality. But Adam and Eve, for the moment, were mortal, and therefore they were tempted. And the serpent came along and said this. Got your book open at Genesis chapter 3. Verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? You never ever start a conversation with yes. But the serpent seems to have done so. My proposition to you this morning is we've broken into the middle of a conversation between Eve and the serpent. I mean, if I came in this morning and saw you for the first time, I wouldn't start off by saying yes, would I? But the serpent seems to here in verse 1. And I think that by saying yes, we've interrupted a conversation, and I think I can prove that, between Eve and the serpent. And the woman said, We may eat of the fruit trees of the garden, but of the fruit tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Now God didn't say anything about touching it. The injunction was that they shouldn't eat of it, but she said, We mustn't touch it. She'd been taught very well. She had been taught very well. There was a brother at our meeting who ran a wholesale fruit and vegetable company. It was very successful. You know, he bought the potatoes and all the rest of the vegetables from the farms and put them in his warehouse, and shopkeepers came and bought them from him. And he had to deliver them. And he had drivers to do that for him. And one day he had a vacancy for a driver. So he advertised in the local paper, driver required for a fruit and vegetable deliveries. And several people applied, and he got it down to a short list of three. So he called the first guy into his office, and he said, that's the truck you'll be driving. It's about 5 tons. And it'll be loaded with vegetables and fruit. Are you a good driver? Yeah. If you had to drive over one of the mountain passes, and you will, they're much smaller in our country than yours, but they're still there. How close could you go to the edge of the precipice safely? Yeah, it's pretty old, isn't it? But it actually happened at our ecclesia. I'm sure it's happened in other places. And the driver said, I could get within about 10 centimetres. Called the next guy in, asked the same questions, how close could you get? And he said, I could get within about 5 centimetres, I'm a pretty good driver. Called the third guy in, how near could you get? And he said, I'd stay as far away from it as I could. I'd drive as far away legally as I could from the edge. And he got the job. And that's a bit like Eve in the garden in Eden. You mustn't eat it, she said. We've been told we mustn't even touch it. She'd been taught well. But the serpent gets to her, you see. The serpent said, you won't die. That's the first lie ever recorded. Genesis chapter 4, the serpent said, you shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, your eyes will be opened, and you'll be as gods, knowing good and evil. Now, verse 6 is the problem. This is the problem. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband. Now, how can you see these things? Well, how can she see that it was good for food? As I said yesterday, I could hold up something nice and shiny for you. You might think it looks good, but it could be poisonous. And pleasing to the eye, yes, it was pleasing to the eye, to be desired, and to make one wise. And of course, my proposition yesterday was that the serpent had already been at the fruit. He was eating it, and therefore Eve looked at him and said, it's good for food, it looked nice, it's to be desired, and it's made him wise. because his argument was, look what it's done for me. Now comes the punishment. God punished the serpent and the man and the woman. But it's the serpent's punishment to which I bring you in verse 15. This is God speaking to the serpent. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head. Thou shalt bruise his heel. Speaking, look, this is a promise of the Lord Jesus Christ. Speaking to the serpent, from now on, the serpent is going to represent sin. From now on, the seed of the woman is going to represent righteousness and Jesus Christ. Always. Remember, when you read of a serpent, it's sin. May I just illustrate that very quickly for you? You know, when Moses was called to lead God's people back to out of Egypt to the promised land, he met God by the burning bush, didn't he? And God said to him, take your shoes off. Do you know, it was a mad thing to do, because there are serpents there. And God said, put your hand into your coat and take it out. And he was leprous. Do you remember? And he put it back and it was clean. And then God said, take your staff and throw it down on the floor. This is a cracking story. I'd love to spend more time. Maybe we will a bit later. And he threw his staff down on the floor and it became a snake. It became a serpent. Remember what serpent is? The serpent represents sin. Remember that, please. Moses threw his rod down on the floor. It became a serpent. God said, take it by the tail. He took it by the tail and it became a rod again. Moses' rod. Now let's just follow that through the Bible a bit, can we, please? Eventually Moses brings, with God's power, Moses brings God's people out of the wilderness, into the wilderness from Egypt. And they want water. So God said, climb up high onto the mountain.